Kia ora and welcome back to the show. And well, it's time for our wonderful Thursday tradition. Mr. Martin Pepperell, how are you this morning?
Pretty good, mate.
What's been happening in Pepperell Town?
Just doing little mundane, boring tasks and preparing things because, you know, the thing about a life, Liam, is you've got to work your way through the boring stuff to get to the fun stuff.
Yeah, that's so true. That's so true.
That's how you do it. You know, you think of anything that you enjoy or anything that you'd love to do or dream of doing. Think about it a bit more closely and you'll be like, fuck, there's all these difficult bits that would have to happen.
So you've got to
do the difficult bits so you can get to the good bits.
Well, isn't that a lovely thought for our morning? Anyway, today's song, it's cool.
It's a big contrast to the Trouble Bass Thursdays.
yeah. It is different, that's for sure.
It's a massive contrast. Why
don't you elaborate for our audience out there?
Okay, this is cool. This is like something I learned about a couple of years ago, and then it just recently resurfaced again, and I was like, man, this is awesome. So, a few years ago, a friend of mine, Mr. Bonato, runs a reissue label in Melbourne called Left Ear Records.
Mm-hmm.
One of the great things about Australia is Australia actually has a really rich 70s and 80s independent music history.
Mm-hmm.
I guess because of the size of the cities, I think.
Because of
the cities and the population and the wages, like, just a lot more stuff was going on over there during that time than what was going on here,
mm-hmm.
which is contentious and none of us really like to hear it. But the reality is like, there were a lot of people toiling away doing really cool stuff, and a lot of them had quite interesting global connectivity. So one of the things that Left Ear Records do is they do this series called Antipodean Anomalies, where they try and dig up little weird bits and pieces from Australia and New Zealand from sort of the 80s. And as part of that, they go on these scouting trips, you know, go around Australia, go through the secondhand record stores, the Salvation Armies, the op shops, the whatever. And long story short, there was this box of old cassettes and records that got left out on the side of the street for curbside rubbish collection.
Yeah, right.
And someone who was a bit of a music person happened to see this box and happened to grab it, and they took it to this record store, and the record store went through it, and anyway, you know, someone got in touch with Chris, and they were like, hey, there's this weird little cassette tape called Picture Music. And he was like, oh, okay, I'll check that out. And it was this beautiful set of these really minimal ambient jazz and experimental electronic pieces, pretty much all without rhythm.
Right.
No drums, really, just sort of really like little like composed like melody and harmony sort of background stuff, but really beautiful, this really nice, like, nocturnal feeling. So Chris started looking into it, and basically what the story was, Brisbane in the 80s, there was a group of musicians who used to meet up late at night at one of their friends' houses,
because,
mm-hmm. You know, the weather is so hot during summer there that a lot of the music, you're trying to do the music gear during the daytime, it'll break down because of the heat.
Yeah.
So people making the music at night time, you know, they used to go to this one flat and they do all these like sort of 4-track, like 8-track recordings.
Right.
And what it was, okay, was the whole Australian film industry was starting to explode at the time, and there were like the big studios in the Gold Coast and, you know, movies being made over there,
mm-hmm.
TV shows and things. And these guys thought, well, maybe we could get into doing soundtrack work for this burgeoning industry.
Yeah, right.
So they started like doing all these composed sort of pieces that they figured would be good for like film, TV, or adverts. And they put this tape together, called it Picture Music, and like started sending it out to music supervisors, sent some copies to record stores, you know, sold some to friends and family. But ultimately, at the time, it was one of those things where like no one really got it at the time.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously,
yeah.
After a year, there weren't any more family members to force to pay $12 for a cassette tape.
Yeah,
you know?
Right.
That sort of thing. Anyone, you know, anyone who's done this, you know, if you've recorded an album and released it yourself and, you know, had to try and sell it and realized, like, very quickly sort of realized that actually, like, you know, I don't know as many people who want to buy some music as I'd like to hope.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, right. Very,
yeah, a lot of people have been down this road. Yep. So, yeah, you know, neglected to the sands of time, as the story always goes. You know, decades pass. Luckily, because of the that box of music getting left out on the curb, makes its way in a roundabout way to Chris. Chris hears it. Chris is really passionate about what they're doing. And, you know, he's got the record label, and he's got a history of doing this sort of stuff. So they take the time to get the audio lovingly restored and remastered, and like they redo the artwork, and the cassette tape becomes a double LP with full size art, and you know, everyone's really happy. But there is a tragedy though. One of the main guys who is in the group, who's the most passionate about it, died a couple of years ago.
Oh.
So he never it's the thing that he would have always dreamed of happening, or loved to have seen happen. Very moving for his family.
Oh, incredibly so. And, like, it's such a cool story, just in of itself.
Yeah. And, I mean, look, I mean, you know, these guys had all the, they had all the reference points, because, you know, Australian, at the time, you know, there was a thing called 4Z, which is sort of a type of station, which is a equivalent to things like RDU, you know, so there were specialist shows.
Yeah,
like, there were, like, there was Rocking Horse Records in Brisbane that stocked a whole bunch of interesting stuff. You know, friends and family were coming back from trips to America and Europe with, like, weird ambient or jazz or early electronic records. So there was a whole network to get all this influence so that you might not have got 10 years earlier or 5 years earlier, and these guys were soaking it up. But it was a tough environment, you know, like it was not, it wasn't like you could go and like perform this music at like the local pub or the local bar.
Yeah.
You know, the whole thing where like Australians really became like passionate about Australian music en masse in a large way. You know, that's the sort of thing that kind of really explodes again in the 90s of the whole sort of Australian, like, grunge rock, alternative rock
generation. Yeah,
but that 80s period of time, it's like a lot of interesting stuff's happening, and it's very cult and esoteric, but it's always very much a very underground thing coming off the back of these earlier periods of time. You know, it's kind of interesting because in the 1940s, early 1950s, one of the most popular singers in Australia was a New Zealand-born country singer called Tex Morton, who he did this thing, you know, some people like remember Tex. Tex sort of did this thing where, like, when he developed his style in the late 30s, early 40s, he combined, like, Spanish guitar techniques, like European sort of folk songs, and then yodeling.
Right.
And this was considered like very, like, you know, this was very progressive at the time.
Yeah.
It's some cutting edge shit, you know. And in Australia, he got really like tied into sort of the rise of like country and folk there, and was one of the, started sort of, was one of the people who figured out, hey, let's write songs about our country.
Mm-hmm.
you know, right about all the like, a massive kind of thing. So there's like there's periods of time, you know, where there's this massive thing. But then in the 80s, all of this fucking interesting weird stuff that's been resurfacing in recent years via reissues. A lot of it was virtually fucking invisible on a cultural level at the time. It was just people made it. They had the equipment. They had the resources. Decades later, there's enough education, there's an audience that wants to know about it, and it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, yeah, no, it's interesting. It's very cool, though, and I guess it's, like, encouraging for a lot of people out there. Fascinating story, though, just to find tapes on the side of the road, like, that's so cool.
Well, you know, the one something that I think is worth thinking about a lot is how many things have to go wrong for something to go right?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that's a really interesting way to put it, but you're so right.
You know, and you've got to think about it. You know, sometimes at points in life, like, you need to just pause and just think about fucking all the things that you thought were fucking a big mistake or a fuck up or an accident or the end of the world. And, how those things happening redirected you.
Yeah, right.
And led you to the fucking current position. You know, and I think that's definitely, like, a case, like, for this whole thing, what's happened for them. It would have just never happened at the time like this.
Do you know when these tapes were picked up and stuff, was it easy to track down the musicians? Like, what was the story there?
Well, Brisbane's not a very big place.
Right, okay. Okay. All right, fair enough.
It's not a big place, you know. So it's like, you know, like if you found, like, something like that in Christchurch, right, you know, the first thing you'd do is you'd go and look at fucking the names on it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Because what you got to bear in mind about this was primarily made as a demo showreel to give to, like, music supervisors and production companies and things to try and get work.
Yeah, yeah.
So what that means is, like, the details on it were very, very clear.
Yeah, yeah, right, right.
You know, there's no esoteric, like, mystery. Everyone's names on there.
Yeah, right, okay.
You know? And then
no, very good point.
Case of, like, I mean, look, there's a bunch of ways you can do it all now, you know, like, I mean, a lot of parts of the world, there tend to be Facebook groups where people go and, like, you know, like, they have names like the lost nightlife of Wellington or whatever, or like, and there's ways. You just have to find someone. You find someone who remembers people, and it's a bit of work, but you can generally do it.
And it would be so fun to do. I'm almost kind of jealous. Well, thank you so much for joining us yet again, Martin. And for providing some insight into the world.
Thank you, mate. Pleasure as always.
Oh, stop. Have a wonderful day.
Yeah, you too. All right, take it easy.
And that was Martin Pepperell with his infinite wisdom. Right, here is Bus Stop Dawn by Picture Music. Enjoy.